1, 2, 3, My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Football Focus Podcast. I'm William Gagan, joined by Kevin Pomeroy. We are here to talk a little more high school football and some big games with a lot of playoff ramifications because we are getting down there, getting down to the end of it. So we will start with our podcast game of the week. That features number 5 Cranston West visiting number 3 Hendricken on Friday at 7 o'clock. And this is a game for both teams that you can't quite say it's must win because a lot could still happen, but it's they would very much like to win this game.
Yeah, no, they don't have to, but if they don't, you're probably going to have to win out. It's that close right now. They both have 2 losses. Hendricken's 4-2, West is 3-2 in Division 1. And, you know, like we were talking about before, you hit that magic loss number of 4, and you're probably going to be out of the playoffs. So they both have 2. You drop one more here, you got 3. All of a sudden, those last games become huge. On the other side, a win here, and you give yourself a real leg up in the division. You got a tiebreaker over one of the teams you might be fighting for that last spot with. And you position yourself, in third place probably right now in Division 1. With a real chance to clinch a spot maybe next week, at least in Hendricken's case.
Yeah, right. Hendricken has 1 more win than West at this point. West still has 3 league games left. Hendricken just has 2. So you have Hendricken, West, and South Kingstown are the teams right now that are kind of chasing the last 2 spots in Division 1. All of them have 2 losses. So it really does, it's just going to come down to these last couple weeks. And from talking to Hendricken, they're very much looking at this as a playoff game.
Yeah, they should be. I mean, if they lose this and they go down to 4-3, you know, you got to assume South Kingstown, who's playing Cranston East, is probably going to win that game. Suddenly, Hendricken's in 5th place in Division 1.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, they only have 1 game left, but it'll be against a Barrington team that's, you know, fairly tough and would certainly be looking to spoil Hendricken's parade. And so they win that, and, I mean, they lose that, and all of a sudden they're out completely.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, a great game for positioning, a huge game for positioning, and a game between 2 teams that, you know, on paper, look fairly even talent wise. Anyway,
yeah, I would think so. On the flip side, when you look at West, they're 3-2. They were 3-0 in league play, and then they lost 2 in a row. They lost to South Kingstown. They kind of started their slide. Had a bye week. Lost to Dennis Yarmouth, a really strong team from Massachusetts, and lost to LaSalle this past week. So things obviously are not going very well for West at this point. It's been since September, I think, that they got a win.
Yeah.
Or maybe the first day of October.
It's been a while.
But it's been a while for them. And I think the biggest thing is the offense. From talking to Coach Steve Story, they feel like they really just haven't gotten it done the last couple of games.
I saw them last week against LaSalle, and they started off in that first quarter, in the game and competitive, and the offense was moving the ball a little bit. They did a good job riding Joe Manny. He was playing fullback, and he was being a little productive on the ground. But then it kind of came to a halt very quickly, and they never got it back on track. I mean, they didn't complete a single pass. They tried multiple running backs, the 3 guys they usually run, Manny and Joe Siraldi and Brian Stetson, and really nothing ended up working for the last 3 quarters of that game. And they finished it with 14 total yards. And LaSalle's got a good defense. I mean, that's not, to discredit LaSalle, but at the same time, they've had the ball moved on them at times this year. It's not like they've been a lockdown defense. West needs to find itself a little bit. I mean, they were scoring at a pretty decent rate in the first few games and really have just hit a wall here. And you have to wonder at this point now if it's kind of mental. I mean, if they think they can do it, they've gone, like we just said, a full month without winning a game and without having any real production on the offensive side of the football. So it's one thing to sit there and do it against your scout team, but they haven't seen them do it against a real team in a month.
Yeah. It's been a while. I think Hendricken would kind of look at it as, Cranston West is still can be that team that they were early in the season. Coach Croft said, they lost to a really good South Kingstown team, lost to a Massachusetts powerhouse, and you can kind of discount that one, and then lost to LaSalle. So it's not like they were losing to pushovers here.
No, that's true.
It was a tough stretch. But at the same time, like you said, you wonder if West believes that it can still be that team.
Yeah. I mean, the teams they lost to are all good teams. I mean, Hendricken lost to LaSalle, too, and Hendricken nearly lost to South Kingstown.
Right.
So had Hendricken lost to South Kingstown, you'd be looking at losses to the same exact teams that West lost to. But even in Hendricken's losses and their wins, they've at least had some sort of consistency on the offensive side of the ball. They only scored 14 against LaSalle. They only scored 21 against South Kingstown in overtime, but they were offensive points, and there was some semblance of a running game. For West, it's just been a struggle, and it's almost odd as to why it has been a struggle,
yeah.
Because the talent's there. I mean, you saw in the first few games of the year when they beat East Providence, who's 4-1 and looks well on their way to a playoff berth. They beat Barrington. I mean, they ran the ball well, and they threw the ball fairly effectively.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Matt Russo is a good quarterback. I saw him warming up at halftime of that game last week, and he was just casually throwing it 45, 50 yards in the air. So he has the arm, he's a good, big, athletic kid, and they have the running backs. And we, we wrote a big story not too long ago about their their line, both offensively and defensively. But, on the offensive side of the ball, it's big, it's physical, and they take pride in it. So the pieces are in place. They just need to get back to doing, what they did early on.
Yeah, I would agree. Apart from how West is doing mentally, I think if you look at it, their defense can be pretty strong, especially their D-line. They've got good linebackers. Hendrickson's going to try to establish the run. They've got the big offensive line. That's what they did against Portsmouth last week, partly out of necessity. It was pouring rain. They couldn't throw the ball, but they also want to do that just in general. So that's definitely Hendrickson's key. And West, like we said, they have to get the offense going. So that's going to be the interesting thing.
Defensively, both teams are strong. I mean,
they
just are. Hendrickson has held good teams in check most of the year. The one thing they have showed is that when a team does get on a little bit of a roll, and I don't know if this is a trend or just has happened in both the games they've lost, but when the teams have gotten on a little bit of a roll, they've kind of catapulted. LaSalle scored a couple times and all of a sudden took off and scored 39 points against them. East Providence scored a few times and things started building up. And next thing you know, they had 35. So in their two losses, the defense has given up a few points and things have kind of gotten away from them. So it'll be interesting if West can establish something on offense, if they can rack up a few points and get some consistency, if that Hendrickson defense will yield a little bit.
Yeah. I think it'll be a really good game overall. At this point, tough to pick West based on the last couple weeks, so we're going with the Hawks 21-13. Another big game to talk about, major playoff ramifications. This is Pilgrim visiting Mount Hope, 7 o'clock Friday night. And for Pilgrim, we've gone through all the scenarios, and we're fairly certain win and they're in.
Win? Well, almost.
Almost.
We were close. I think they have to win. And St. Ray's has to win.
No.
No?
No. We thought that initially. This is how convoluted the playoff picture is.
16 spots.
We thought that
spots.
Initially. But when you go into the tie-breaking procedure, it goes to quality points, which is wins by teams you have beaten. You get a point for that.
Right.
So Pilgrim, St. Ray's, and Ponagansett, in this case, could potentially be in a three-way tie.
Yep.
This is really hard to explain on a podcast. So St. Ray's, in that case, wins that three-way tiebreaker on quality points. So they are in at that point. That leaves a two-way tie between Pilgrim and Ponagansett, and that reverts back to head-to-head, which gives it to Pilgrim because Pilgrim beat Ponagansett.
That kind of makes sense.
It kind of makes sense, yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, that's what we're looking at. Pilgrim...
Win in the ring.
Win in the ring. If they can take care of business, they've got it. Pilgrim has had great games. They've given themselves a chance by playing well these last couple weeks.
Yeah, I think when their coach Tom O'Connor told us, and when we realized it, that they could win out or play well these last few games to get into the playoffs, we thought, yeah, I mean, mathematically they can do that, but really, are they going to do it? And then they took the giant step forward against West Warwick when they nearly won. They lost 22-14. And then last week in the game, we thought, okay, maybe the West Warwick game was a little bit of an aberration. They'll come back this week, and that'll be that. And they didn't. I mean, they went out, and they beat Ponagansett. And that, I mean, I think they just have a knack for knowing the moment a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum, about how they don't show up in the non-league games. And those games don't matter in the long in the scheme of things. And the games that do matter, the games that have been really important down the stretch when they've had their backs against the wall and they're facing elimination, they've played really well in. So Mount Hope, is the 16th ranked team in the poll this week, and is a good team. Early on was probably one of the better teams in Division II, and has fallen off a little later. But I don't think they're overwhelmingly better than Pilgrim, and the way Pilgrim has been playing, I don't think you can in any way count them out.
Yeah, I agree. Just so everyone understands the standings, because that explanation was really convoluted before. St. Ray's is 4-2, sitting in third place. Mount Hope, Pilgrim, Ponagansett are all 3-3, tied for fourth. That's that fourth and final playoff spot. So definitely a big game for Mount Hope. for Pilgrim, and then St. Ray's and Pontiac that are playing each other, so there'll be a big game there as well.
Mount Hope needs to win to get in, too, don't
I believe they? So. Yeah. I believe so, yeah. I think they have to get a win. I think a number of other things could happen, but it starts with them getting a win. Yeah. So definitely a big game. Mount Hope's tough. I mean, I haven't seen them this year, but we've seen them in the past couple of years. They're always hard-nosed, well-coached, disciplined team. Got a good running back in Aaron Booth, kind of a bigger kid. Gian DeMeza is another running back. And they almost shut out St. Ray's last week. St. Ray's didn't score until late in that game. So that was a pretty big win for them to get back on track. And the other thing that Mount Hope has is they've kind of got a chip on their shoulder, I gather.
Yeah, you would think so. they beat Pontagansett earlier in the year, and had that win stood up, they would be 4-2 right now. But they were forced to forfeit that game because it came out that they used an ineligible player during that game. Now they're 3-3 and sitting here right in the thick of this, crazy playoff race. Things would be a lot different if that hadn't happened. So, that being said, you got to think they know they deserve to be in the playoffs. So they think they deserve to be in the playoffs, and they can still achieve that goal. So, I would imagine they're going to be ready and hoping to take care of business and kind of get rid of those demons from that game that they won and then get yeah. taken away from them.
Yeah, exactly. For Pilgrim, definitely they've got the momentum now. And if they come out fired up and realizing that this is really the biggest game Pilgrim has had. I mean, other than Thanksgiving games, it's the biggest game they've had since 2004.
Yeah.
I mean, this is huge. So if they come out and play up to that level, they're going to give themselves a chance. I think they have to match Mount Hope physically. I think that's the biggest thing, because Mount Hope is a tough team. So
I think defensively, Pilgrim can. I mean, yeah. offensively, they're going to hope to put up some points, but they're going to struggle a little bit. I mean, that's just kind of the nature of a game like this. They're going to have to be tough and to win a low-scoring game, I think, to have a chance. Control the game defensively and get a few big plays offensively, or one or two sustained drives, and that'll probably be the difference.
Yep. All right, well, don't let it go to your head, Pilgrim, but we are picking you in this game 15-14. On maybe a last-second two-point conversion?
Yeah, well, pretty much go for two every touchdown.
Yeah.
So. But... 15-14 is what we're going with. Maybe 16-14 if you go for two the first time, too. But, you made believers out of us.
Yeah. Now on to some of our other games. Not quite as much playoff intrigue in these ones. Yeah. But we've got Shea visiting Johnston Friday at 7 o'clock. Chance for Johnston to finish strong. Playoffs are looking a little bit slim for them right now.
Yes, they are. They would need to win, and they would need... Vets to knock off Westerly. Stranger things have happened, but just looking at the two teams and the way they've played, Vets knocking off Westerly seems pretty far-fetched.
Yeah.
Johnston beating Shea, on the other hand, does not. Johnston's 4-3 overall, 3-3 in the division. Shea's 1-5 in the division. Or I'm sorry, 1-5 overall and in the division.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnston just is a better team, and they should be. They should win this game comfortably. It's their senior night. It's a chance for them to finish above 500. When they went through that tough stretch and were, under 500 in the division only a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, they could get to the playoffs, so there is that in the back of their mind. So they want to take care of business just on the outside chance that Vets does beat Westerly. But even if that doesn't happen, they want to finish the season on a good note and want to, honor their seniors in the last game of the season.
Yeah, right. And they just kind of started down that path last week, beat Westerly. If they hadn't done that, if they hadn't upset Westerly, we wouldn't even be talking about slivers of playoff chances. So that was definitely a good win for Johnston, because Westerly came in as one of the better teams in the division. Shea is very young. I saw them last week against Vets. I think they're playing like four or five seniors at this point. So they're extremely young, but they are athletic. They're fast, and they can, they'll be trying to build on the win they had over Vets. I think Johnston, overall, though, like we said, should be able to take care of business.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if they didn't. I mean, we talked about it earlier today, you and I talking. This team, if literally a couple plays, plays in their whole season had gone differently, they'd be sitting in second place in their division, and ready to go to the playoffs, and probably going to the playoffs as one of the favorites.
Yeah.
They lost a double overtime game to Central. They lost an overtime to Cumberland. And those two teams are going to the playoffs. Cumberland's 4-2, Central's 5-1. And Johnston has the three losses. So win one of those games, you're probably in. Win both of them, you're definitely in. So it's a team that's had a little bit of bad luck, but is still, a very good team. So Shea, I wouldn't think, will pose much of a problem.
Yeah, we'll take Johnston 30-7. Let's move on to one of our Cranston games. We've got South Kingstown coming to Cranston East for homecoming. That's Friday at 7 o'clock. And these are two teams that know each other pretty well. They moved up to Division 1 together after kind of always contending with each other in D2. But their paths have diverged a little bit this year. South Kingstown has turned into like a legitimate contender at this point.
South Kingstown's good. I'm on the South Kingstown bandwagon. They've had three straight wins, blowout over West. I mean, they're good. They're good. They're fourth in our poll right now. They're 4-2 overall. They are 3-2 in Division One, so they're right there. You know, a win here and they'll put themselves in line for a playoff spot as well, which is obviously the goal. You know, whereas East only has the one Division One win. They got it last week over North Kingstown. They're 1-4 and are still technically alive in the playoff race, but obviously would need a ton of help to get there and would need to win out. You know, I think on the surface it looks like a South Kingstown victory, and it looks like one that they should be able to take care of fairly handily if they play the way they have been playing. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, you know, we talk about East potential, and I think this game in general has the potential to be sort of a letdown game for South Kingstown, or a looking ahead kind of game. When you see East's record and you see 1-4, you know, you probably don't think they're anything great. You probably equate them to North Kingstown, you know, a team that's just sitting there at the bottom of the division, when we both know that's not what Cranston East is. So, you know, it's got potential for an upset if South Kingstown overlooks East a little bit when they head in there.
Yeah. And last year, East was in this kind of same situation. They started 0-4, beat North Kingstown, then made a really nice run at the end of the year, ended up 4-4 in D1. Mm-hmm. So if they're kind of buying into that and not so much even looking at, oh, well, can we still make the playoffs? If they're really worried about that, then you know, it's a concern. But if they're just trying to finish strong, I think they can spring an upset in this one. But South Kingstown does look really strong. Nick Neal, Sean Conley, Garrett O'Dowd, kind of a stable of running backs they've got going. Yeah. So we're going to take South Kingstown in this one, 22-12. Moving on to Warwick Vets, Friday night game, another homecoming game. Vets, like we mentioned, is playing Westerly. And Westerly comes in with a 4-2 record coming off the loss to Johnston. And you can bet they want to bounce back because, like we said, if Vets were to spring an upset here, someone else might sink into the playoffs ahead of Westerly.
Yeah, if Westerly loses this one and that's the one that keeps them out of the playoffs, I would imagine they're not going to be too happy with how they ended their season. I mean, this is one obviously they should take care of. You know, Vets is 1-5 in the division, and the teams that are going to go to the playoffs have beaten Vets. I mean, that's just kind of one of the things you do if you're going to go to the playoffs. These are the games you got to take care of. But you know, on the flip side, it is Vets senior night, you said?
Homecoming.
Homecoming, yeah. We'll take it. And you know, they're sitting there with nothing to lose. They're in a position where you know, they're exposed to lose this game. You know, they have the big game on Thanksgiving, but you know, this game isn't supposed to mean a hell of a lot to them, except that's their homecoming game, and they have a chance now to spoil Westerly's playoff hopes. A win here will keep Westerly out of the playoffs in all likelihood. So, you know, I would think they'll be fired up for that. I mean, it gives them something to play for, and it, you know, makes the game a little more exciting.
Yeah, we saw when they're fired up, they can play pretty well. They had that win over Coventry. They were not terribly fired up against Shea, I would say. But, you know, maybe they could bounce back this week, use it as a chance to kind of springboard themselves into Thanksgiving. So there's upset potential there, but we are going to pick Westerly 31-12. And our last game to talk about, we've got Tolman visiting Tollgate, and struggles have kind of continued for Tollgate the last couple weeks, and it unfortunately for the Titans does not get any easier in their league play finale.
And Tollgate, you know, struggled basically the entire season, and last week was no exception. They lost to Woonsocket, got blown out to Woonsocket, a Woonsocket team that was winless heading into the game. That being said, it was a game that was, you know, was difficult to really gauge much from. You know, I mean, it was pouring. The field was a mess. You couldn't run. Yeah, it was just, it wasn't football. I mean, it was a strange, strange game. There was nobody in the crowd, for instance. I mean, it was like six people in the whole stadium. It was very strange. So I don't think they put a ton of stock into that game. On the other side, they did have some injuries in that game. They lost their starting quarterback, Mitch Hawkins, who I'm not sure if will be back this week, but it's a neck injury, so you would think probably not. Steve Haley left that game. Nick Carr left that game. I mean, guys that are some of their better players. So facing a Tolman team that is going to make the playoffs, that's number 11 in our poll, and doing so shorthanded for Tollgate, you know, it probably doesn't bode very well.
Yeah, definitely a tough task. Tolman, like you said, ranked 11th, and they actually were undefeated in league play before last week. They lost to West Warwick. And that was a game where they had 7 turnovers, so you can bet they're going to be eager to kind of bounce back and get geared up for the playoffs again. Tolman led by running back Elvis George. They've got a pretty solid quarterback as well. Like you said, Tollgate, they're just going to try to do what they can, but they are going to be This is going to be a tough one for them.
Yeah,
I think
they're probably looking ahead to Thanksgiving at this point. Not that it gets much easier with Hendricken on Thanksgiving, but you know, I mean, that's their biggest game at this point. The league season has kind of passed them by already. I mean, obviously they're not making the playoffs, and I mean, yeah, they would love to get a win. Don't get me wrong, but you know, I think the most important game on their slate is probably Thanksgiving, and that'll probably be the healthiest they're going to be going forward too. You know, just based on what we saw last week, so. Like we said, a tough task, and you know, a Tolgate team that's winless in the division probably doesn't figure to get their first win against the first place team in the division.
Right. All right, we'll take Tolman 38-13. That pretty much does it for us here on the Football Focus Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. Big games this weekend, so get out there and enjoy them.
With a dream, my cardigan. Welcome to the land of fame excess. Am I gonna fit in? Jumped in the